James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 52 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, let's do this. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for Thursday, October 23rd, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris. I got Chase Brumfield alongside Manny the Controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. Great show on tap for you today. I'll run it down in just a second, but first, I need to tell you this hour of the Gary Harris Show is being brought to you, as always, by Alabama Credit Union. Member-owned and not-for-profit, it's just a better way of banking. Reminding you that you can spend your time living, not banking. Find the perfect account to make life easier. A checking account should do more than help you manage your money. It should make life better and help you feel good about your money. That's what Alabama Credit Union does for you. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, jam-packed lineup today. It's Thursday. That means the coach, Ellis Johnson, 9:30, breaking down SEC football for us. The former Alabama, Auburn, South Carolina, Mississippi State defensive coordinator, head coach at Southern Mississippi. He now retired and living in South Carolina. Going to join us to break down Alabama and South Carolina, as well as the other big SEC games this weekend. Also at 10 o'clock, the Falcons report with D. Orlando Ledbetter. Always look forward to that. The Falcons coming off a loss at San Francisco against the 49ers. The Mac Jones-led 49ers. Wonder how much longer that will be the case, because at some point, Purdy's going to be back. And they've invested a lot of money in him, although Mac has played really, really well. Then at 10:30, Jeff Spiegel, sports anchor at ABC 3340 in Birmingham. Your phone calls, as I said, are welcome, 205-342-9904, and we'll get to call here in just a minute. But first, though, some breaking news. And Chase, you actually tipped me off to this when I came in this morning. And it's, if you listen to my show for the last 10-plus years, and the last two or three in particular, and this is, listen, everybody's not getting caught here. Gambling is a problem, and I don't care what anybody says. You can't tie into gambling, take their money, have them promote all of their gambling stuff on pro sports and college sports, tie it into ESPN and all this, and think that it's not going to impact players and coaches. Now, this news is really, really major, because it's a head coach involved. Chauncey Billups, head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, as well as Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier, arrested today as part of a pair of investigations related to illegal gambling. That's according to ESPN's Shams Charania. Rozier was arrested Thursday morning in a hotel in Orlando. The Heat lost their season opener to the Magic on Wednesday when Rozier did not play due to a coach's decision. Billups' arrest in Oregon was made as part of a separate but related illegal gambling case linked to an illegal poker operation tied to the mafia. That's according to an ABC News report. Billups is expected to make an initial court appearance later on Thursday. Also, former Cleveland Cavaliers player and assistant coach Damon Jones was arrested Thursday on charges that he provided inside information about NBA games to co-defendants to use it to play sports bets. That's according to ABC News. So these are just the ones that we know about. Chase, I'm not naive enough to think that this isn't going on. And you say, well, how do these players and coaches get in this situation as much money as they make? Well, let me tell you something about pro athletes. I've been around them, are people with money, period. The more you make, the more you have, the more you gamble. You know, you make $50,000 a year, you're gambling a poker game, maybe, you know, $5 a hand, $10 a hand. You know, these guys might be playing $100,000 a hand. They might, you won't believe how much some of these guys gamble and the amount that they gamble. Whether it's casino gambling, whether it be like poker games, whatever it may be, horse racing. And you can get yourself in a pickle. This is a major, major story. Again, I mean, let this impact you in a way that it's impacting me. Chauncey Billups, who's a great player in the league, now a head coach in the NBA, arrested as part of an illegal poker operation tied to the mafia. You're in with the mafia, and you owe them money. You might do whatever it takes to get out of a pickle. And now, this doesn't mean that he was necessarily fixing games, but if he owes people in the mafia money, what would be a way to get that back? Well, to let them know, if you bet on this particular game, I'm going to make sure that we don't cover the spread, and you can make back as much money as you want. Now, again, I don't know that that happened, but he's the coach. He controls the roster. He controls who goes in, who goes out. Every major decision during the game. If he's coaching in a game, and let's say Portland is laying 6.5 against the team, and he wants to make sure Portland doesn't cover that, you're doggone right he can do it. He's the head coach. So this is, it's not shocking to me. It's disappointing. But, hey, man, you get what you get. When you make gambling part of your package, part of your advertising, part of your identity, and you think that your employees, the athletes that play the games, some of them aren't going to get tied into gambling, it's naive. It is what it is. This is a business. It's about big money. And now we're seeing something else. I'm on a little bit of a roll now. I called this one. I'm not right about everything, but I knew this was coming too. Chase remembers me saying, I said, listen, man, there's going to come a time with this NIL and this portal where you're going to have pro athletes that are saying, hey, man, I want to go back to college. It's happening with the G League. It is happening. And we're going to have some sound for Tom Izzo, who I have a ton of respect for. Louisville signing a player with multiple years of G League experience. London Johnson, 21-year-old, guy that's played 3 years in the G League, which is professional basketball. Let's be clear on that. Yeah, they don't make a ton of money, but it's professional basketball. He's going back to college. It's only a matter of time, I'm telling you, before you have some kid that went to the NBA after 1 year of college, washed out after 2 or 3 years, and says, hey, man, I got college eligibility left. I want to go back. And the NCAA hasn't stood up to any of these. As soon as they've, you know, you're going to have a guy in the NFL that's 25 years old who, maybe it's a quarterback, one of these quarterbacks that didn't make it, who says, man, I still got 2 years of eligibility left. I want to go back to college football. I mean, this is ridiculous. You should not be able, now I know there's rules where if you play pro in one sport, you can play, go back and play college in another, but not the same sport. But that's where we're headed. We're headed to a point now where you're going to have guys that are playing in the NBA and the NFL who want to go back to college. And the way it looks, they're going to get to do that. I mean, I understand money. College sports is now a business. It's filtering down to high school. But, Chase, at what point do we try to get some type of and listen, the way everybody defends it is, well, college football is more popular than it's ever been. College basketball is more popular than ever again. The games are better than they've ever been. But that doesn't mean there aren't problems. You know, as I said before, college sports is not designed to be played by 27, 28-year-old grown men. It's just not. That's not the concept. The concept is you shouldn't be able to play for 8 or 9 years. The concept is you come out of high school, you play for 4 to 5 years, and you move on to your next area of life, whether that's professional sports or something else. That's what it's designed for. What are we going to do? At some point, you just go back and forth between pro and college? You know, if you're an NFL or NBA player and you don't make it, or a Major League Baseball player, you say, man, I want to go back to college and play, and I'd make more NIL than I can as a backup whatever position in this sport. Who's going to stop them from doing it? I don't think anybody is. I mean, it starts with the G League. Chase, your thoughts.
Yeah, and honestly, too, I think it's going to domino effect into other sports. You talk about tennis. You talk about soccer, which is starting to grow a little bit more. You talk about so many other sports are going to be affected by this. I think I knew the G League was a joke when they tried to implement more rules into it. I was like, that's not going to work. People are going to get fed up. They're going to want to have another year with college eligibility because of how popular it is right now. And now look at it. It's just a domino effect. I'm really curious what Tom Izzo is going to say about this because he's got a lot of traction what he said. So, but it's sad to see.
Yeah,
this.
We're going to run Tom Izzo's comments about this G League guy being signed by Louisville. You know, he's ticked off about it. And I don't blame him. Any coach with credibility should not want to see us go down this road. And another thing about these NBA guys gambling, let me tell you something that's even easier. And I don't gamble. I mean, everybody knows, listen to my show, knows I don't bet on sports. Okay? But it's not just about the win and loss and the odds. Prop bets are where you get in trouble. When you can bet on a particular guy that is, you know, let's say there's an NBA player and his under over for that night is 13 points. And you bet the under and you've got him tied in with you. All he has to do is come out in the second quarter and say, "Coach, man, my ankle's hurt." Or I got a migraine. And he then guarantees that he's not going to score 13 points. How easy potentially is that? Think about it for a minute. You got a guy that plays in the NBA, and he's on the hook with some gambling guy or owes somebody money. And listen, his prop that night is 13 points under over. Well, you say, man, I'm gonna bet the under forever how much money. You better make sure it goes under. All he does is second quarter, "Coach, I got a migraine, man. I can't. So he leaves the game with 6 points in the second quarter. Well, just because he leaves with a migraine, that bet doesn't change. Part of that is it doesn't say, well, the guy has to be healthy for the whole game. The prop is 13 points. He scores under 13 points, and you bet under, you win. If you bet over, you lose. Anyway, it's 9:17, but it's just all this is just we're scratching the surface. But again, I want you to think about, because we're numb to so many things. I want you to think about this. An NBA head coach was arrested this morning, arrested as part of an illegal poker ring tied into the mafia. One of the most respected players ever in the NBA, Chauncey Billups, Mr. Clutch. NBA head coach is tied into an illegal poker operation with the mafia. Jeez. The G League guy that spent three years in professional basketball is going back and has been given approval to play 2 years in college. Is this what we want it to be, man? All right, 9:18, we got phone calls lined up. We're going to come back with Tom, Phillip, and Corey. You guys hold tight. Ellis Johnson at 9:30. This is the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports. As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and 3 special Monday.
Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
All right, 9:21. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Speaking of the NBA, Brandon Miller, you remember he hadn't played since January, so it was out second half of the season with an injury, and came back last night for the season opener for the Charlotte Hornets. Watch out, this Hornets team's got some young talent. He had 25 points and 7 assists. Colin Sexton had 15 points off the bench as the Hornets blew out the Nets. Clowney for the Nets had 5 points and 4 rebounds, 136-117. Also, Victor Wembanyama coming off injury as well, 40 points for the Spurs as they blew away the Mavs last night, absolutely destroyed them. I'm looking for that final. I know it was a blowout. There it is, 125-92. Cooper Flagg didn't play great in the game. I don't have time to give his numbers right now, but we'll get to him. We got phone calls to get to. All right, Phillip is going to lead us off. Then we'll get to Tom, and we'll hold Corey and Trustful for last. Hey, Phillip.
Yeah, Gary, in light of your comments a minute ago on the NCAA and the guys in the G League that have signed scholarships with Louisville, and I think there's one other team, but I can't remember who it is, but it is two teams. Senator Bill Cassidy questioned NCAA President Charlie Baker, I think it was the day before yesterday, on age gaps and fairness issues in college sports, and he ordered Baker to get back with him on that. So I'm hoping some changes are about to ensue on that now that a U.S. senator has gotten engaged on this. And so Baker's been given an assignment. And I think hopefully you'll start seeing some stoppage on this, 27, 28-year-old guys going in and being quarterbacks for 7 years.
Well, I hope we do too, Philip, but I have my doubts at this point because, and nothing against the U.S. senator, but we've been hearing about the government was going to do this, going to be able to, and so far they haven't been able to do anything. So I hope, because I don't think this is good, and I think right now, whether it's pro athletes coming back to college or all of the gambling, and listen, if you got pro athletes involved in gambling, don't think you don't have college athletes that are doing it. Everybody that, it's the way it is in life. Just because somebody gets caught doesn't mean they're the only ones doing it, man. So I just think that there's a lot of stuff under the surface that's simmering that we gloss over it because people that say college football is great are absolutely right, man. I'm enjoying this season. It's fun. It's competitive. Mm-hmm. It's one close game after another. SEC is just like every game, it seems like it goes down to the wire. But that doesn't mean there aren't issues. And, just at some point, I just think that all of this stuff that's happening with the money, I think it's going to make it harder and harder to keep any kind of feeling at all that this is amateur sports. And it's getting out. It's happening right in the high schools, man. So, but the gambling thing's a major issue because it's a...
Oh, that's major.
And like I said, these prop bets are the worst because prop bets are directly bet on a player. So a player can dictate whether or not, if you don't want, it's easier to go the under, obviously, because let's say the prop bet, I don't even know how they work it, I don't gamble, but let's say that so-and-so has a prop bet of 8 made free throws or whatever. I don't know. And all he's got to do is make sure he misses his free throws. I mean, it's easy to affect these prop bets. Right. So I don't know, Philip. I don't like it, but you know what? Nothing I can do about it.
Well, when somebody like Cash Patel is on TV right now talking about these arrests, I think it's just the tip of the iceberg. I really do. I think it's just the beginning of several more to come. But I was going to ask you another prediction I've got, and I've wondered about this, and I've actually communicated, sent a question to Clay Travis. I would not be surprised here in the next couple of years, I don't think it'll be long, that OutKick ventures into broadcasting college football games and college sports, period.
Well, if they come up with the money, they can. It's as simple as that. I mean, it's if you've got the money, and you're not going to get to broadcast it if you don't have the cash. But if you can bring the money to the table, you're doggone right. Yep. That's what Amazon Prime's doing right now in the NFL. If you've got the money, you can get anything you want. There's some PGA Tour event now that's going to be sponsored this coming year by some online YouTube channel deal. So, you got the money. You can get a game. You can get a package. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're never going to turn down money. The college sports and pro sports, they're never going to turn down money. That's why we're in this pickle we're in with gambling now, because gambling brought money. They brought cash to the table.
Well, I think OutKick's got the means, the ways and means to do it, and I wouldn't be surprised if in a few short years they are challenging ESPN for television, broadcasting rights and doing games on TV.
Well, they might. Barstool Sports, something called Barstool Sports has their own TV show on Fox. And, I mean, you bring the money and you bring the viewers, you can get access. Hey, got to run. Thank you, Philip.
See you, man.
All right, let's get to Tom real quick. We're running behind, but I'm trying to get everybody in. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Gary, on the gambling thing, I've always felt like gambling is sports. Gambling, I equate it to being cancer. And once it starts, these are the results that we're seeing from gambling. When you allow it in, it starts to erode the integrity of the sport.
Sure it does.
And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And I don't care what U.S. Senator says to the NCAA president. The NCAA president said, we'll pass a damn law that it shields us from lawsuits, and then we'll talk. But until we get turned down every time we go to court because of some kind of stupid-ass right somebody thinks they've got to have. And until they shield
They're tired of getting sued and losing. You're right, Tom. Yeah.
To your point, these people wanting to come back with eligibility and everything, all they got to do is go to a circuit court. It won't go any further than that. And gambling the same way. It's going to ruin everything we love about sport. See you, Gary.
Thank you, Tom. All right, let's get Corey on. He's been waiting for a while. And I told Coach Ellis Johnson, no, we're running a little bit behind. So we can give Corey a few minutes here. Hey, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Well, I wanted you to ask Jeff Spiegel if he thinks Hewitt has a good chance of making a deep run in the playoffs despite injuries.
Okay.
I still think they have a good chance if the bracket falls the right way. Just wanted to get his thoughts on Hewitt, what he thinks going forward. As far as Alabama goes, I just think as long as we don't have a letdown game, and really we shouldn't, because South Carolina played us close last year when they weren't really that good last year. So this should get Alabama's attention, especially with it being on the road. So I look for Alabama to come out with good energy and with them having a good week of practice and look to get a dominant win.
Yeah, you said something right there that's true. If they've practiced well this week and they've prepared well this week, they're better than South Carolina. If they're dialed in and have put the work in, they're going to go in and they're going to get a solid win. If they didn't practice well this week and they didn't prepare the same way they prepared for Georgia and Vanderbilt and Mizzou and Tennessee, you could look up in the fourth quarter, this could be a game, because South Carolina is an SEC team and they've got talent. And if you don't take, you know, if you're not ready to go, you could be in some trouble. So I hope it goes just the way you said, that Alabama has gotten themselves ready, and they go in there and they take care of business and they put this game away.
Yeah, I know they're looking forward to that bye week, but they got to take care of South Carolina first. And I think what will be big is if we jump out ahead, take the crowd out of the game, and just get out of there with injuries, I think it'll be smooth sailing. But for some reason or another, I just get the feeling that LSU is going to beat Texas A&M.
Oh, you're not the only one. I think there's a lot of people who feel that way. LSU at home, their back's against the wall. A&M always seems to slip up. So I think you share that sentiments with a number of people. I think there's a lot of people who feel like LSU is going to win that game.
Well, since A&M's joined the league, A&M's 0-6. At LSU.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian Kelly's only lost one game at night at Death Valley, and that's to Alabama in 2023. So history says LSU should win this game, but the better team is A&M coming in. And I know the better team doesn't always win, but I think it'll be a good game. And then with Oklahoma and Ole Miss, I just trust Brent Venables' defense to shut down the Ole Miss quarterback, because I just think it's going to be hard to ask a freshman on the road to go into Oklahoma and go up against a defense like Oklahoma and to come out of there with a win.
You make some good points, Corey, and I will ask Jeff if he thinks Hewitt can make a deep run in the 7A playoffs battling the injuries. I'll do that for sure. Hey, thank you, buddy, and thanks for holding. Sorry that took us so long to get to you.
That's okay.
Appreciate you, Corey, always, man. Great call. All right, 9:32. We're off and running, obviously, and I didn't mean to jump into that deal, but when Chase told me about the breaking news on Chauncey Billups, I sat there, my jaw just dropped. Again, I think we're so numb to stuff, but think about this. This is an NBA head coach, the head coach of an NBA team, and he's tied into a poker ring with the mob? Come on, man. All right, we'll be back with Coach Ellis Johnson next year on the Gary Harris Show.
Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Want to jump into any of the shows? Call Tide 100.9 right now at 205-342-9904.
Will somebody answer that damn phone?
That's 205-342-9904.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. It's time for the Coach Ellis Johnson, and we're going to break down SEC football, but I'm also going to get his thoughts on kind of the where we're at right now. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning, Gary.
I'm going to start you off by, because I guess I was just blown away this morning when I saw the news that Portland Trailblazers head coach Chauncey Billups had been arrested this morning as part of an illegal poker ring tied in with the mob. Terry Rozier of the Miami Heat arrested for gambling on sports. Tom Izzo, the Michigan State basketball coach, absolutely just annihilated the decision to let these G League players come back and play college basketball, which I agree with. And it's only a matter of time, I'm telling you what, before some guy that washes out in the NFL or the NBA after 2 or 3 years says, hey, I've got eligibility left, and then they're going to come back and play college sports. I mean, the gambling, you invite them in, you take their money, and you know, you grew up in locker rooms. And you're, I mean, playing cards, you know, gambling's part of culture for a lot of these athletes. And to think that you're going to be this heavily involved in it and not have it get – and, you know, the ones that get caught are the ones that we know about. How prevalent do you think gambling on sports is among athletes in the NFL and college? Because it's going on.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what prevalent might mean. Do I think it's real? It's daggone right it is. And sometimes, Gary, it's not what they don't do, because people have a hard time fathoming how do you throw a game. You know, when there's 10 other players playing, how does one person do that? They're not necessarily throwing the game. What they're doing is maybe they're betting on something that's off to the side, like will Tom Jones score 30 or more?
The prop bets, and exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and whoever's defending him, he going to make sure he gets those points. The slippery slope on all this is that when these guys are playing poker, you can bet there's some characters in that ring that they're serious gamblers, and they're connected to mobs and connected to corrupt people. Once you get stuck, you know, it can be life-threatening because they know things about you and they blackmail you.
That's right. That's right.
So that's why they make a big deal about stop doing these NCAA basketball pools. And I know some of it's a little bit far-fetched, but stop playing poker with this, that, and the other. Stop betting on high school football or betting on the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Miami Dolphins. If you touch it, you're going to come in contact sooner or later with a bad dude. And they're going to have a way to put you and compromise you. And you may like it. You may enjoy it. You may want to be involved in it. But probably a lot of times it's guys that innocently get stuck in something and they get too far into it to turn back.
Wow. Well, like I said, Ed, my jaw dropped when I saw Chauncey Billups. This is an NBA head coach, the head coach of an NBA team, arrested in a federal investigation that the FBI director, Kash Patel, said involves 11 states and tens of millions of dollars. Just mind-blowing. All right, I want to ask you about the other thing with the now the NCAA allowing G League players, which is the minor leagues of the NBA, but it's professional basketball. I mean, these guys have been playing. This kid's played 3 years of professional basketball. Now he's being allowed back in college, signed with Louisville, and has 2 years of eligibility remaining. Isn't it just a matter of time before an NFL quarterback who went in the draft early and washed out and says, hey, I've still got eligibility left, or an NBA player says, you know, I want to go back to college. I mean, how are we going to stop it? I mean, we've opened the door for all this, Coach.
Yeah, that probably is going to happen, Gary. And whether it does or it doesn't, if they go to court, there'll be some sympathetic judge that gives it back to them. And the NCAA was castrated, you know, a few years back. And everybody was clapping and cheering. Thank goodness we got rid of those guys. They were doing nothing but ruining the game. You have no governing body now. They can say what they want to. They say about that commission they created for the Power Four or something, enforcing rules. It's all a bunch of baloney because they'll go to court. You got all these liberal lawyers that'll take it to court. You got judges that'll always side with the kid. And what it's doing is it's just turning college sports into a joke. It is no longer student athletes or college sports. College sports, especially on the major level, they're nothing but a social promotion program, something to create social justice and you know, create opportunities for kids outside of academics.
Yeah. Well, it's not designed to be played by 27 or 28-year-old grown men. You're not designed to be in college 7 or 8 or 9 years playing sports, but that's where we're at. But we'll get to the games because I admit, like everybody, that's just how they all gloss over it. Well, college football is more exciting than it's ever been. And they're right. The games are great, but you know, it doesn't mean this thing's not brewing underneath. But let's get to the games. Let's start with a look back at last week at some of the games. Alabama-Tennessee, I think this one went about like you thought it would. Alabama 37, Tennessee 20. All these games seem to come down to a few plays, but Alabama was able to make those plays and Tennessee didn't.
Yeah, I thought the thing would go that way, but if you really realistically look at it, Tennessee's one play from having a shot to win the game,
sure,
that 100-yard kick. But that, to me, was sort of an indication of Tennessee. The Aguilar kid has really played good for him this year, and he's done some great things. But he has some points during really big-time competition. He makes a throw that he's not capable of making, and that was a bad decision. I don't particularly like the play call. I don't, at least what I could see of it. But to throw that ball out there like that and not even rolling out to it, I thought it was a bad call and probably a bad decision by him. And it, you know, it was the ball game. It was a 17-point ball game. But that might have been a 14-point swing right there. One other thing that was very impressive, 783 yards in that game total and one turnover. But it was a big one.
It was. You're right. It was a huge one. Auburn, again, loses again at home in double overtime to Missouri, 23-17. I mean, if you can find a way to lose a game, Auburn's going to find it. But, I guess I knew this because I knew they'd had four straight losing seasons. Hugh Freeze is in his third year, coach. He started 0-4 in the league every year. Think about that for a minute. You've been in, a program like Auburn, your season shot halfway through three straight seasons. I mean, and they've recruited well. That's inexcusable to me. I can't fathom that you started out, you couldn't beat one team in the league in the first half of your schedule for three straight years. Basically, your season's over before you ever even get deep into October, November.
Well, he inherited a mess. And you give him that for the first two seasons, I guess, and he's trying to clean a lot of stuff up and get his guys in there. He's done a great job recruiting, working the portal also, and they've got a good-looking team. I take it back to one aspect. Jackson Arnold's making a terrible decision for football, and I don't know if it's other things involved that's making him make bad decisions, but it just they get into overtime, and he takes a sack on the first play. When you start overtime with the college football rules, you're sitting in the red zone. You don't get penalties and you don't take a sack. You don't go backwards. I mean, you're already sitting there in field goal range. So it just, those kind of decisions, that's been going on all year. And I just think that's where the buck stops. They're playing really good defense. Their defense has given them a chance to win every game. And, you know, they've got some guys in that receiver room that are as good a targets as anybody in college football. He can't hit them. He's throwing balls that are 4 and 5 yard passes and throwing the ball laterally, but they cannot throw the ball downfield consistently. And it just continues every week. I think all the bad officiating, which has been realistic, all that bad officiating that's happened to them has made people kind of give it a pass for right now. But it's starting to repeat itself, and it's starting to become, you know, just every time you go out there, it's the same old stuff.
All right, I'm going to run this one by you. If I told you that one team had 258 passing yards, the other had 132, one team had 395 yards, the other had 179, one team had 26 first downs, the other had 8, one team had 39 minutes and 23 seconds of possession time, the other had 20 to 37, obviously you'd say the team that had that's that dominant in the statistical category won the game. That's a problem. Kentucky didn't win. They got beat 16-13 in overtime against Texas despite dominating the statistical part of the game. How in the world does that happen?
Yeah, this was, you know, wasn't this a late night game?
Yeah.
I remember I had a funeral Saturday. So I get home and I'm able to see the last, maybe the last half of the game. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, man, this is a good game. It's a good game. And the next day I print out the statistics and I'm like, this has got to be a misprint. I mean, you can't play a football game and only get 8 first downs and win the game.
Yeah, got dominated.
Yeah, and 47 yards rushing. It baffled me. I went back and made sure that it wasn't something misprinted on the stat thing or my printer didn't go crazy. This is just nuts. And this team is just coming off of a win over one of the best defenses in Oklahoma. And Arch played very good in that game. And now they can't score. They can't move the football. They can't even hold on to the football. So they're very fortunate to get out of this one with a win. And I don't know. To me, I don't see Texas making it. They got too many freckles. And their offensive tackles, I think, are the main thing. But they just not going to make the long run. I don't see it.
You got Florida getting a win. I guess that's a good news for Billy. He goes out with a win. Florida beats Mississippi State 23-21, but obviously the decision had already been made to fire him, which, I don't know how I feel about letting a coach coach in a game when you know you're going to fire him after the game, whether he wins or he loses it. But, Pittman already got fired. This is another reality of where we're at now. Coach is getting fired 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks into the season on it's going to become a regular basis. So, I know you were pulling for Billy, and I was pulling for him too, but it just makes all this stuff about vote of confidence and we got your back and we support you. These ADs and presidents and administrators stand up there. It's a bunch of hogwash. I mean, they're trying to fire every coach in this league now that's not, that's another thing, coach. You can't just keep firing everybody, can you? I mean, everybody's not going to go to the playoff. I mean, aren't you allowed to have a decent season and keep your job?
Just like Coach Saban said the other day, all this money, it's with all the pay for play and all that now, people almost feel like they're part owners, and the patience level is gone. It's gone. I mean, I thought it was going to slow down the firings when they had to put all this money into the players and then the coaches and all these other things that were paying coaches not to work. But it apparently just turned up steam on it, and fans are contributing to NIL and everything else. They want them gone. And it's only so long that AD can put his finger in the dike and keep it from breaking. So I don't know. It just doesn't surprise me anything. But I do think the recruiting calendar and the portal calendar has also got ADs over a barrel. If they're going to make a change, they got to make it soon. Just think if you're in the market trying to hire a football coach this year, they're probably going to be 20 openings minimum because they've already been 12 or 13. And you're competing with all these people out there for some coaches that you think can come in and get the program straightened out. I think you also destroy 2 recruiting classes. The one you got committed, you're going to lose some of them. And the next one you're already working on, you're going to be behind the eight ball on that too, not to mention the portal. So I don't know. I think a lot of times we make bad decisions. And I understand this one. I didn't like it, but I understand that it was reaching a point, sort of like you're talking about Auburn. They can't find a win in a critical ball game. I think what the reason they waited for this particular week is because they got Open Day and they got Florida next. And I think they wanted to make sure if they were going to get rid of him, they let the new coach have that Open Day and hopefully get him to go down and play hard against Georgia.
All right. Last week was all SEC versus SEC. A&M hung on against Arkansas. Georgia came back to beat Ole Miss. Vandy did what a lot of people expected them to do, hold serve at home and beat LSU. We mentioned a few other games, and so I want to get on to this week before we run out of time. And let's start with Alabama at South Carolina, Coach. This is a game, again, right now with the way these two teams are playing, you expect Alabama to roll in there, but Alabama's coming off 4 straight games against ranked opponents in the league. They know they got the bye coming up after this week. I guess if you're Alabama, you just want to make sure you've prepared well this week and you're focused, because if you do that, you should go in there and win the game. But if you don't, you could find yourself in some trouble. How do you see this South Carolina-Alabama matchup?
Yeah, they're playing well enough right now. Alabama may be the most complete team in the country right now. There are better offensive teams. There are better defensive teams. I don't know if anybody's playing complimentary football any better than they are. So I've tried some personnel issues right now, a couple of injuries. They're supposed to get a lot of them back. I think they've gotten two offensive linemen they lost during the game last week and in the first, second quarter, and they've got them coming back. So it's a trap game. But if Alabama takes care of business, takes care of the football, they will beat South Carolina, you know, 2-3 touchdowns.
Auburn goes to Arkansas, both these teams looking for an SEC win, man. And Bobby Petrino's, what I'm told, talking to some of my media folks up there in Arkansas, is probably going to get this job, they feel like. I mean, they've lost the two games he coached in, but they came close against Tennessee and against A&M. And now you got to figure if Arkansas is going to get a win, this would be a game to get it at home against another team that hadn't won a conference game.
I think this might be the first actual home game he's coached.
It is.
This interim stuff. So, maybe this is his audition. I don't know. I think that Auburn, obviously, is playing poorly on offense and really good on defense. And Arkansas is just the opposite. To me, this game, except having to go and play at Arkansas, this is a really, really good matchup for Auburn. And I think they got a shot, to pull this one off. But they have got to quit shooting themselves in the foot. Arkansas may be the worst defense in the conference. And if they can't put up 20-something, 30-something on Arkansas, then it's going to be a long finish to the season.
All right, let me correct something. A&M, they lost 45-42. Arkansas did. That game was in Fayetteville. So they lost last week in Fayetteville. Okay. They're home again. They've been on the road a lot, but they're at home for three straight games, A&M, Auburn, and Mississippi State before they go to LSU. All right, let's get to Tennessee trying to bounce back. And if they're going to have any shot to get in the playoff, they played a rival, border rival in Alabama. Now they go to Lexington. Again, this is a Kentucky team that, plays good defense, and can run the ball, but they just don't score a lot of points. And they're going to need to score some points to beat Tennessee, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I just think maybe they shot the best shot last week. But if they play the kind of defense they did against Texas and they can slow Tennessee down, they'll have a chance. But they're just having a terrible – they can't score. And Tennessee's not good on defense this year, but they've got – they make some big plays, third down plays and so forth. I just don't see Tennessee having a problem with Kentucky on this.
And you got Ole Miss, who had an incredible first half into the third quarter. And then Georgia, clamped down on them in the fourth quarter. I think Ole Miss had single-digit yards in the fourth quarter. I'm not sure they had a first down, maybe one. And Kiffin obviously disappointed. But for Ole Miss, another team that, their fans are ready for them to get in the playoff. I mean, let's just be honest about it. They go to Oklahoma. So, Ole Miss, maybe you could afford one more loss, but not any more than that. So this is a big game for both these teams.
Yeah. Gary, there are three top 25 games that have ranked opponents playing each other, and all three of them are in the SEC this weekend. The rest of the top 25 in the nation don't play a ranked opponent this week. So the circular firing squad that goes on in this conference, SEC, these 3 or 4 weeks, it started. And it was last week, and it's going to continue this week. So every time these teams play each other, like Ole Miss, Oklahoma, one of them is going to be sort of eliminated from a possibility to get to the playoffs and or play in the championship game. And it's getting at the point where these one-loss games are almost season breakers. I think Oklahoma, if Mateer takes care of the football, if he doesn't turn the football over, I think Oklahoma is going to beat Ole Miss.
Wow. All right, let's talk about A&M at LSU. And Brian Kelly's another coach the fan base has turned. A&M's got a perfect season working. They have not won in Baton Rouge since they came into the SEC. And here's Brian Kelly now knowing that, he's in a little bit of trouble potentially. This is the kind of game that A&M has, they've stumped their toe on in the past. Did they have enough to go into Baton Rouge Saturday night and get a win?
I think they do. And the thing that tells me they will, and it, we'll have to see if he's consistent or if it was just an outlier. But last week, I've been saying for about 4 or 5 weeks that Reed, the quarterback, is not good enough to take them to a championship. He wasn't playing at that level. He wasn't killing them, but he wasn't making those kind of plays. This week, I mean, this past week, 280 throwing, 55 running. That's 325 yards. He scored. He was responsible for 4 touchdowns. And it's the first time in 4 games he didn't throw a pick. And they were playing Arkansas's defense. I understand that. But if he plays that well down the stretch, I think Texas A&M can run the table. But I think they're definitely playing better than LSU right now. Unless LSU finds some kind of running game that just keeps Texas A&M off the field, I think Texas A&M wins this pretty convincingly.
Let's look at Texas and Mississippi State. We know Mississippi State's a lot better. But, again, it's just so hard to get over the hump. And they've been competitive, man, and all their SEC games. They probably should have beaten Tennessee. And I know the A&M score looks lopsided, but that was a game into the fourth quarter. And then they could have easily won that Florida game. So you're looking at a team that's 0-3 in the league, but – you know, it's going to beat somebody, and they're at home Saturday afternoon at Scott Field at Davis-Wade Stadium against Texas.
Yep, I mean, another one of these trap games. You know, one team's unranked, one team's ranked, supposed to be a lot better, should be win. You go in and you don't take care of the football, and you have a couple of mix-ups in the secondary, Mississippi State can score points. And they've been pretty solid on defense. They haven't been able to keep people off the board real well, because the offense doesn't keep control of the ball. They score fast, or they turn it over, or they get off the field three and out. But this could be a dangerous game for them, but I think Texas, unless the same team that shows up at Kentucky, I think Texas beats them 2 touchdowns.
All right, let's see what we got left here. We're going through them pretty quickly. Missouri at Vandy. Yeah, I can't miss that one. That's College Game Day and everything. That tells you where we're at in college football now. College Game Days in Nashville for Missouri at Vanderbilt. Top 15 matchup. And both these teams feel like they're college football playoff caliber teams. Well, you lose this game, you're probably not. So this may be for the winner, a chance to keep their season going. And for a loser, neither one of these teams, if they lose this game, I think are going to get in the playoff.
Yeah, this is one of those ranked opponents playing a ranked opponent. And one of the three. And I think that Missouri has a better football team, but Vandy just playing at home, and they're just getting everything out of their players right now. I do think their defense is good, but the reason they've been able to keep points down is their offense stays on the field. And I think the key to this is going to be if Missouri can cut out those Vanderbilt 10, 13 play drives. If Prabula gets enough snaps, Missouri will put points on Vandy. So it's going to be determined whether Missouri's defense can get Vandy off the field.
Going to be another fun week. Two teams on bye, but the rest of them, again, 7 SEC versus SEC matchups. Thanks for breaking it down, Coach. Next week, we'll talk to you on Friday.
Right.
Yep.
Sounds great, Gary.
All right, that's Coach Ellis Johnson. 9:58, fast first hour. We wrapped it up, but we're not going to stop. We got D. Orlando Ledbetter coming up with the Falcons report to kick off hour number 2. Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles,
opening night in the NBA, and Victor Wembanyama put on a show in Dallas.
Wembanyama, the spin move on Christie, pull up baseline jumper, caught it. Victor Wembanyama, it's a 40-point game. It's his 5th career 40-point game.
You just heard it all on the Spurs radio network. He ended with 40 points and 15 rebounds as the Spurs defeated the Mavericks 125-92. The 76ers survived in Boston 117-116. Philadelphia rookie VJ Edgecombe ended with 34 points and 7 rebounds, setting a franchise scoring record in a debut, breaking Allen Iverson's mark of 30. The Jazz scored 43 points in the first quarter and never looked back as they rolled past the Clippers 129.
Action today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another fine fall day today with a sunny sky, the high 77. Clear tonight, the low 49. Tomorrow and Saturday, partly to mostly sunny both days. Highs between 73 and 76. Sunday, rain at times, the high 69. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9.
It's 52 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. UCM host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Here we go, hour number two of the Gary Harris Show right here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. I'm Gary Harris. Chase Brumfield is manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. And we're going to open up this hour with D. Orlando Ledbetter, Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, AJC.com. And always love to visit with Orlando, a lot of Falcons fans in this area. And good morning, Orlando. How are you?
Good morning, Gary. Thanks for having me today.
Good to have you as always. Before we jump into the Falcons, I just want to get my jaw hit the ground this morning when I saw that Chauncey Billups, Portland Trailblazers head coach, former great player in the league, had been arrested as part of a FBI 11-state investigation that he was involved in an illegal poker ring with games rigged by the mafia. You cover the NFL. You know how the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, they've all gladly accepted all this gambling money. They promote it. ESPN promotes it. And yet then they try to say, well, you know what? We promote it. We're a big part of it. We know people are gambling. But you know what? We want to keep ourselves above the fray. I guess my question, Orlando, is how shocked are you by this Chauncey Billups' arrest, and how prevalent do you think gambling is among professional sports players and now, I guess, coaches as well?
Well, I'm not that shocked, Gary. I covered the NBA back in the Jordan era in the 90s, and, you know, of course, people believe he was, you know, when he took his hiatus, that might have been gambling related. You have the big Charles Oakley and Tyrone Hill fight, which was over gambling. But now to see that it's transferred into just, you know, leisurely gambling and, you know, guys with a lot of money and a lot of time into an organized operation, that would be the difference here with the Chauncey Billups situation, with it being a part of organized crime. But, yeah, the leagues have muddled the waters here by taking the draft money. You know, Robert Kraft, I think, was one of the leaders of DraftKings. Well, I want to name some of the people. People see it on TV. But, yeah, you got ESPN with a segment every day talking about, you know, hey, here's the game, but here's the moves you want to make on, you know, our betting app. So it's muddled the water, waters. But this sounds like an organized and stage set up operation, which makes it, you know, brought the interest of the federal government into it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, it's happening. I guess my final question on this, being around pro athletes, you know, we want our games to be, you know, without question, but these prop bets too are a problem. I mean, that's just whether it's, you know, so and so gaining a certain amount of yards or a player in the NBA scoring a certain amount of points. If somebody gets to one of these guys and can get them on the hook, a prop bet's the easiest way to win, because if a running back is his over under is 62 yards rushing, well, you know, he's at you know, 35 yards rushing in the third quarter, and he says, "Coach, I got a migraine, I can't play." I mean, it's so easy with these prop bets for these players, if they so choose, and getting themselves involved to fix the outcome. It doesn't have to be even then about the game. It's just about, you know, your personal numbers that can easily be controlled by the player.
Yeah, no doubt. And I had to do the whole history of gambling in sports when Calvin Ridley's situation came up.
That's
over
right
here. And you know, the younger guys don't have any clue of you know, Paul Horning and Arch Leister and, you know, those, you know, the Boston basketball player who had the movie come out. The theory was that the money was so good that the players didn't have to take money from the mob. And the money is, they are making a lot of money now, but, you know, I guess when you make more, you want to make even more. So, yeah, there's certainly some things that have to be monitored as we move forward.
Yeah, you make more, you spend more, and a lot of these guys, you know, the gambling culture, like you said, going back, it's part of a lot of these guys, whether it's playing cards on the plane or casino gambling, they get involved in it, and you make that much money. It's not. It's no thrill, as you know, Orlando. If you're making millions, it's no thrill to win $100. It's just not. That's not. That's not what they gamble for. They're playing high stakes, and it's, you know, it's just part of the world that we live in now. But it's going to be interesting to see how these leagues handle it, because as you said, they put their hand out and they gladly accepted this money. All right, let's get to the Falcons. I think they felt like, based on what you said last week and kind of reading some of your stuff and listening to some of the interviews, that that was a winnable game for them at San Francisco, and it probably was. I mean, 49ers are still banged up, yet 20-10 loss, and it gets them back to 500. What did you make out of the 49ers game?
Yeah, the 49ers muddled that thing up and turned it into a knockdown, drag-out fight, and the Falcons weren't ready for all that. You know, they lost their linebacker, but still the 49ers were out their linebacker, and without Nick Bosa, two all-pro defenders, and, you know, they didn't it didn't get any cute out there. They just ran McCaffrey right at him 29 times, and the Falcons defense, which is, you know, light and fast, they're not going to hold up to that, and they eventually broke in the fourth quarter because the offense couldn't figure out what to do in the red zone and, you know, continue to melt down in the two-minute drill.
Now you got a chance to get over 500, back to over 500 on Sunday, and you're at home against a team that's in the conversation right now for worst team in the league, and that's the Dolphins. The head coach seems in over his head. Tua's not playing well. His teammates aren't helping him a lot. Offensive line, receivers having tip balls, and he seems, I don't know if disengaged is the right term, but he and his teammates don't seem to be on the same page. I mean, this team's a wreck right now. So the Falcons, you would think, will have an opportunity to get a win on Sunday.
Yeah, no doubt, Gary. Tua's thrown six interceptions, three in each of the last two games, and they pulled him last week and put in Quinn Ewers there late after things got out of hand in Cleveland. So this was reading up today. Him and Mike McDaniels met for an hour and a half, just trying to come up with a game plan to try to put something together against the Falcons, which would be a run-heavy thing after the Falcons gave up 174 to McCaffrey. So, yeah, the Falcons, he's got to convince them that they got to pass the victory, and it's probably running the ball down the Falcons' throat. And, you know, if they buy into that, Miami will have a chance, just like Charlotte was able to upset the Falcons. But it looks real bad in Miami. Things don't go well here. They got a Thursday night game, and that probably will be McDaniel's last game if they drop to 1-8 on the season.
All right, well, that being said, you just hate to use the term must win in the NFL, because you got a chance to win. You play 17 times, you got a chance to win. But where the Falcons are at right now, this is a must-win game. You can't lose to the Dolphins at home, can you? And expect to have the kind of football team that's a. This is a game Atlanta Falcons, in my opinion, have to win. Especially like you said, they got shut out in Charlotte, 30-0. So they can't lay an egg against this team.
Oh yeah, this would turn the whole season sideways because you know then they're down to 3-4, and they got the Patriots and the Colts coming up next in Berlin. Which looked like, you know, two games they could lose. But if you do the whole schedule like that, you can still see where they get to 10-7. You know, but they got to beat the Miamis of the world. You know, they're going to have trouble with Seattle later on, it looks like. The Colts game is tougher than you thought it was going to be. It's going to probably come down to beating the Saints twice, beating the Bucks once, and then winning out in Arizona. You know, those are four games that they got to win, and this is the fifth one. This will give you a clear path to 9 wins, and then, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to have to beat some good teams to make it to the playoffs.
All right, been asking you about Penix because it's, man, he's got talent. You can see it, the arm talent, the touch. I hate to use this term, and you correct me if you think I'm wrong, but it just inconsistent to me. It just seems like he's had some brilliant games, and there's other times where he just doesn't seem like it's clicking for him. I mean, he's having a good year. I don't want to take anything away from him, but I just think that there's more there from him. If he could consistently play at a high level, this team could go a long way. But I see ups and downs with him. How do you view that?
Yeah, that's just what the roller coaster you're gonna ride with a young quarterback. You know, Gary, teams have gotten film on him. They're taking away the stuff he likes to do, and then you gotta have counters for that. So you know, that's on the Falcons coaching staff for coming up with you know, counters for him when he, you know, stuff that was open earlier in the season is not open right now. Like the swing pass to Bijan, that was covered. You know, they were they seen him take it 81 yards, so that's over with. So what's the next play? Do you run a route differently, make it look like a swing pass and break it back in? You know, so that's up to the Falcons to scheme it up and make it look different, as he's seeing new stuff every week now. And you know, young quarterbacks are going to struggle. I've seen them, you know, going with back to Matt Ryan, Vic, Brett Favre. You know, they're going to see stuff new for the first time. Until they get it down, you know, you're probably not going to operate like clockwork. So in the meantime, what you do, you lean on the running
game.
That's
right. That's where I was going with this. You got a great running game, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So lean on that, yep. And then throw off of that when you need to.
You got one of the best backs in the league, and got another back that's really good. Hey, following up on that, because I have seen some of the analysts, and they're usually former quarterbacks, saying they don't like the pistol. They either put me under center or put me in a shotgun, but don't put me back there halfway. And what are you, obviously the Falcons use it. What's your opinion of the pistol?
Yeah, I don't really. I'm an under center power football guy, and so, you know, I don't like the finesse football. But if you're gonna get in there, you know, that's fine. But I don't think you want to do it in a short yardage situations. I don't like a square out pass on fourth and one, you know, like we saw against the 49ers. You know, line up and play football at fourth and one. So I'm okay with the pistol. You know, Colin Kaepernick and his Nevada coach kind of, you know, got it going. It's an easy way to get a lot of young quarterbacks going. It's wide open. You know, it can score a lot of points. But the biggest thing is, you know, Penix has got to be able to pass against man defenses. His numbers are drastically lower against zone versus man. So it's not really the formation. It's the play and execution.
Good point. All right, this division, the Lions helped out the Falcons with beating Tampa Bay. I still think the Falcons have a chance to win this division. The Panthers are above 500. I mean, that's kind of shocking at 4-3. You still favor Tampa Bay here, though, in the NFC South?
No, I think they'll get walked down. I don't know. But they're taking on a lot of hits. They're injured. So 10 might do it for the Falcons. 11 would definitely do it. But, you know, that's a very rosy projection on the Falcons' part if they're going to do it. But I didn't see the Bucs in a walkaway because, you know, the way they were winning wasn't sustainable. Now you got Mike Evans out. Mm-hmm. Amika's picked up a little bit. Godwin is all the way back. Bucky Irvin's out. So, you know, that's just too much. They're going to take on too much water here. At some point, you know, we saw how Detroit got after them, and we saw some of the old Baker come out. So they're not a walk away in the NFC South by any means. And just happy for Bryce Young and the Panthers, because everybody's ready to throw in the towel on him and see him come back and battle and get them over 500. It's been pretty good to watch.
Do you know what his status is for Sunday with the ankle? Bryce Young?
I'll see the later report today, but It's looking like they're going to try to play him, but the Red Rifles don't stand by.
Yeah, that's right. You got Andy Dalton ready to go if needed. Hey, awesome report as always, Orlando, and let all the listeners know how they can get your info.
Oh, you can find me on X at the Orlando AJC, and you can go to AJC.com, our website, and, you know, we'd ask you to sign up for our Falcons weekly newsletter, the Dirty Bird Dispatch, which comes every Thursday morning at 10 a.m.
Can't beat it.
Thank you so much for having me, Gary.
Thank you, Orlando. Appreciate you. 10:18 here on the Gary Harris Show, our T-Town trivia, Bama football trivia contest. T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery sponsors it. Continues tomorrow. We're going to give away a really beautiful Bo Scarborough signed football. And I mean, he went into detail on this one. Tom just sent me a picture of it. It's signed by Bo. It says Bo Scarborough number 9, Roll Tide. And it's a beautiful Alabama Script A football that we'll give away tomorrow when we're live at Innisfree Irish Pub. All right, we're going to come back and take some phone calls in the next segment here on the Gary Harris Show.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here at the Tuscaloosa Thread, headlines. Tuscaloosa County Commissioner Reginald Murray has been charged with 3 misdemeanors after a confrontation with a TPD officer at MLK Elementary on Tuesday. The HBO documentary, The Alabama Solution, has revealed systemic violence in the state's prison. Tuscaloosa State Representative Chris England.
You would get the impression from watching the film and also looking at your own evidence that the system not only encourages it, but it also enables it.
More than 100 prison employees have been arrested for their involvement. I'm Don Hurt.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans.
Down and get $3,000 over book value only at Tuscaloosa Mazda. TuscaloosaMazda.com. Based on KBB Fair Trade Value on select models with approved credit. See dealer for details.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily
House. With 95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. The best place for your high school football coverage is right here on Tide 100.9 and online on Tide100.9.com.
Signed, sealed, and delivered. That's the Gary Harris Show. We're here for you, 10:22. Going to get to some phone calls. More information coming out on this gambling probe, federal gambling probe in the NBA. And Mr. Big Shot, Chauncey Billups, is at the center of it. Also, Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier, former Cavaliers star and assistant coach Damon Jones, all arrested in the investigation. The Hornets, Trailblazers, Lakers, and Raptors were cited in the sports betting investigation by a U.S. attorney says this, and FBI Director Cash Patel labeled the 31 arrests across the NBA and organized crime as historic. Historic. This is an illegal gambling operation and sports rigging operation that spans the course of years, said Patel, who added the operation crossed 11 states. Billups has been charged in an illegal poker scheme linked to organized crime. So this has been going on for a while. It makes you wonder now how many of these games have been impacted by gambling. Again, I just can't can't get over it. I guess I knew it was out there, and but to have this, hey, congratulations to the FBI. You need to bust these people, man. You don't need to play professional sports and have people invest in you and a team and a player, and then you're that at that level doing what they're doing. They deserve to go to jail. I mean, they really do. This is serious business. All right, let's take phone calls. We got Cowboy, and then we'll get to Robbie Glenn. Good morning, Cowboy.
How you doing, Gary?
Doing well.
Tragic day for sports. I really don't call to talk about sports betting, but that's
That's tragic. Oh, Lord. Oh, well, that's ridiculous. But, hey, if you ever put money on a NFL game, NBA game, and you see some stuff going on, you can kind of see it because you just, like, all of a sudden, the point betting line's 1 point starting the damn game. The guy misses a gimme extra point. You're going, oh, God, here we go.
Yeah, you're going to start wondering more, even more now, that's for sure, with this story.
Yeah.
You're going to wonder how many of these guys are in on something. What else you got for us, Cowboy?
What I was talking about is I see a scenario happening here. A 10-2 Ole Miss, if they could, you know, run the table to 10-2, even if they still got some tough games, even if they lose at Ole Miss, they just need to beat Ole Miss to get them out of the Mulligan League, because I feel like the SEC is going to have four teams in, and Ole Miss might make it the fifth team, and then Ole Miss would get in that debate game of a 10-2 Notre Dame and a 10-2 Ole Miss. I may have brought this up to you, but we know who's going to win that debate. And then we're looking like we could have, if they don't win the SEC, we could have a Notre Dame-Texas A&M rematch in College Station probably. That'd be a good football game.
Yeah, it would be.
we're getting down to where this thing's going to start kind of, you know, cleaning itself out a little bit, and we can figure things out a little better. You know, once I moved to Dallas, I kind of figured out the NFL. Once you get to Thanksgiving, then you can kind of figure out how the season's going to go. And college football, once you get to about November 1st, you can start putting this puzzle together a lot better. We still got a lot of crazy pieces right now that doesn't fit. But come around after next weekend, November 1st, we're going to get this puzzle where we can kind of start putting the pieces together.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you're on point, Cowboy.
Yeah. Do you think Wake Forest has got a chance at upsetting? They're 4-2 with Robbie Ashford, mm-hmm. the quarterback. SMU going up there.
Yeah.
Sandwiched between that Clemson win and then SMU. Yeah. You know, they got Miami at home next Saturday.
Yep.
I put Miami on the upset alert.
Yeah, I think Wake's got a chance. You said 4-2, and they could easily have a better record than that. So, yeah, they're not going to be an easy out for anybody in that league. So, yeah, I definitely think that's one to watch for sure. And Robbie Ashford's played well.
Do you know who the offensive coordinator is at Wake Forest?
Well, I should probably, or you wouldn't ask me. Let me think about it a second.
I'm going to tell you if you can't figure it out.
Hang on a second. Let me think, because I do think it's not. It's not Rob Ezell, is it?
No, yeah, you had too much time on that one, Gary.
No, I didn't look it up. I was trying to. I remember when he left South Alabama, but you gotta give me. Yeah, but it is him.
I didn't want you to look it up.
No, I didn't look it up. I didn't.
Yeah, well, he didn't look.
I didn't look it up. I'm asking you, is he the guy?
Yeah, he's okay. The guy, buddy. I'm just playing with you. Come on, man.
No, I will, but I was just saying I wouldn't. But I had to think about it for a second. So, but he's done. Yeah, he's done a good job. He's well known for his imitation of Nick Saban. You know.
Yeah, that's a good young coach up there at Washington. I mean, at Wake Forest, he came from Washington State.
He's a real good coach.
He's a good young coach. Yeah. You know. Here's a scenario, too, and I'll throw this out, and I know Robbie wants to get on there and let him talk, but if Judd Fish might be the guy at Florida since Spurrier likes him, could you see Ryan Grubb getting the Washington head football coach?
Boy, now you're throwing out scenarios. This has got to happen. This has got to happen. Let me say this. If Washington opened up, I could see Ryan Grubb being a candidate. I could, if it opened up. Now, I understand Jed Fish's connection, obviously, to Florida. He's a graduate, and Spurrier got him into coaching business and all that. But I don't think they're going to hire Jed Fish. I just don't. He hadn't done a good job, but I think they're going to swing for bigger, you know, swing at bigger, you know, targets. But if Washington opened up, you know, yeah, I could see them taking a look at Ryan Grubb, sure.
Yeah.
he might be looking somewhere else too. Though I think he's a good potion.
Well, I hope he's here for a few years before he takes a head job. I can tell you that he is doing a really good job. Hey, good to hear from you, Cowboy.
All right, buddy. Enjoy it. Hey, I'll just play with you.
No, I know you were, but I didn't look it up. If I look something up, I'll tell you. I will. That's one thing about it. If I look it up, I'll say, hey, I looked it up. But I had to process it for a second. Thanks, Cowboy. Yeah.
All right, be good,
buddy. All right, we got to try to get a couple of minutes out here with Robbie Glenn. We pushed up against the break, but hey, Robbie.
Hey, Gary, I'm getting a little fired up there with Cowboy.
Well, I mean, if I look it up, I'll tell you I looked it up. You know that.
Nah, I got you. Well, yeah, I'm ready for the weekend. Got World Series tomorrow, which is always going to be fun to watch, and then right into football, which I'm excited about the Bama, because what we're going to see now with Bama is this our championship team this year. And what I mean by that is, like, they went through the gauntlet of these four ranked teams, and now they're going on the road, hostile environment, a team that's having a bad year but is very good. I mean, we know South Carolina can play. They got a great quarterback. So should we beat them? Yeah, but we've got to be mentally ready to play, not just physically but mentally. And that'll show you what kind of has this team grown up. And are they ready for the end of the season? Because the end of the season gets tough. You play, some ranked teams again. You got your rival with Auburn. Then you got the SEC championship that you're shooting for. And then you got to win, three games? That's a lot of football. And if they can get ready to play this game, that tells me this team's grown up and they're ready for the whole season. They've dialed in and they've got it ready to go. So I'm ready to see what they got Saturday.
Yeah, I am too. I think this is one of those kind of games. You're right. If you're a mature football team and you're playing at the level they're playing at, you should go in there and handle your business. But if you're not ready to go and you don't have, if they didn't prepare well this week, you could be in some trouble up there. So, yeah, this, and plus, the one thing I like, Robbie, I said this earlier in the week, is they know they got a bye coming up next week. So I think the coaches can stress to them, give us one more week. Give us one more week and then you can catch your breath, man. But buy into this game just like you bought into Georgia and Mizzou and Vandy and Tennessee and go up there and take care of business and then you catch your breath for a few days.
Yep, and then you get a little rest.
That's right. So, hey, thank you, Robbie.
A lot of big games. Thank you, Gary.
Appreciate you, man. Okay, we'll get to the break, 10:32. We'll come back with Jeff Spiegel, ABC 3340 next. As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and 3 special Monday through...
At Decades, it's not just food, it's nostalgia served fresh. Decades Pub and Grub, where every bite is a blast from the past, downtown at Timberson Square.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:35. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. It's Speaks time. Jeff Spiegel, longtime sports anchor at ABC 3340, joins us every Thursday to talk a little ball here on the Gary Harris Show. How's it going, Speaks?
Really good, Gary. I'm running down the road on I-65, so I'm literally running down the road.
Well, be careful. Let me ask you about a story that's kind of dominating the national headlines, and rightfully so. I just want to get your reaction. I've asked all my guests, regardless of who they are, just about this explosive story with this FBI investigation into the NBA, federal charges being brought against numerous people, including the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, Chauncey Billups. This to me is just jaw-dropping, that an NBA head coach could be tied in with the mob in an illegal poker ring that somehow impacts his job, and NBA games now, it appears, have been rigged for years, according to the director of the FBI. Just your reaction to this.
Well, it's a black eye for the NBA, and for a sport that's been, getting really good ratings. I mean, from what I can tell, a lot of eyeballs on the sport. There was a lot of, you know, a lot of excitement, you know, over, you know, what happened last night with the new guy in Philadelphia kind of taking the world by storm, and then the excitement around the sport, you know, in general. And then for something like that, just kind of, it's a punch in the gut is what it is.
It is. And but, you know, Jeff, I guess the bigger picture to me, again, is it's there's a gambling culture in sports. You know, these guys play cards in the locker room and on the plane. And then as you get rich and famous, I'll say this. Guys making millions of dollars, you know, winning $100, it doesn't mean anything to them. I mean, they're going to bet high stakes. And that's how you can get yourself in a pickle. And then you have these sports leagues that have just, and college football and college sports too, just openly invited gambling into their, you know, they're gladly taking that money. They're gladly taking that gambling money. We're promoting it on ESPN. You're promoting it during your games. And then you're saying, yeah, but we want to keep ourselves above the fray. It's hypocritical to me.
Right. Yeah, it is. It is, and it's certainly a line that they've been more than willing to try to cross or try to walk, and it's a fine line, and you better be careful when you're walking that fine line, or you might just fall off.
Yeah, you sure could. It looks like that's what's starting to happen now with it seems like four teams are involved. A mob family. It's again, I'm still just reading as we're talking. But anyway, let's move on to the games on the field, and we're going to talk college ball. And we'll get to Alabama and Auburn for sure. But again, you're my kind of UAB go-to guy, and you said on the air you just didn't think Trent Dilfer was going to be able to get it done. He gets relieved of his duties. And the first game out under Alex Mortensen, who I know everybody here at Alabama loved, they beat Memphis. They beat a team that, as a group of five team, had the inside track to the college football playoff. It may still get in, but UAB beat them. I mean, as a 20, I think, what were they, a 23-point underdog? I mean, if you're Trent Dilfer, I guess you're thinking, sitting at home thinking, maybe I was the problem. But what a huge win for the Blazers. I didn't see this coming regardless of a coaching change.
Well, I mean, it's a feel-good story. It certainly is. And this has happened before where an interim coach will come in, and there'll be some, you know, energy infused into the program, and guys will pick up their effort, you know, and start playing better. But Johnny Condon was over there at the football complex and just felt like a better vibe, you know, that the guys were there's a little more pickup in their step, and you know, they were ready to go. So it didn't surprise me that they were on point, you know, Saturday. What did surprise me was the fact that, you know, UAB had the lead, 31-17, scored a touchdown, and then broke off a run that put them right at the one-foot line, where all they got to do is get out of their own way and have a quarterback sneak, send that thing to overtime. And then, you know, to me, I think all the momentum was going with Memphis at that time. But Memphis just imploded. They got like a couple of false start penalties and an illegal shift and just, you know, self-destructed there at the goal line. So, you know, as much as UAB wants to paint it as a goal line stand, and it was really just a goal line choke, you know, on behalf of Memphis. But, you know, give UAB credit and give Alex Mortensen credit. I mean, it was definitely a story that, you know, definitely got UAB some great publicity. And because of Alex's, you know, the fact that, you know, he was the son of Chris Mortensen, the late, great Chris Mortensen, and that certainly got a lot of play on ESPN too. So it was good positive vibe for the UAB program.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Trip Dilfer out. I know it's not the buyout we see in the SEC, but still, they got to pay him some money. We know UAB is a little bit strapped. It's not like they can just go out and find, you know, hire any coach they want. Is Alex Mortensen a serious candidate for this job?
Well, I think it depends on what happens the rest of the way, right? I mean, they've got to go to UConn next week. They've got some games left to play. And, an AD for Hoover High School told me this last year when, you know, Chip English was in the running, you know, to get that job. And I know it's high school and college, and that's two different things. But, you know, the athletic director, Harley Lamy, said, well, I mean, he's interviewing every week for the job. and he's the only one that can do that, you know. So to me, that's the situation that Alex is in. You know, he's interviewing every week for this job, and I don't think they would be opposed to elevating him and giving him that job, you know, if he goes out and earns it, if the team plays as hard as it did against Memphis for him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a situation where they go, well, you know, we don't need to put an interim in there. You know, I think it's a situation that where Alex, if he goes out and he proves himself, you know, week after week after week, then I think they'll give him that opportunity.
All right, Jeff, let's say that you know, this was a one, you know, an outlier, and it goes back to being the UAB team that we've seen most of the season, and they don't finish well. Who are some candidates in your mind that UAB would look at?
That's a really, really good question. I don't know. I'm not really familiar with who all is out there. Now here's something wacky. Jimbo Fisher was at the quarterback club Monday, and he made no doubt about it when he left.
He must coach.
He wants to coach somewhere next year.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it was left. Yeah, hope to see you on the sidelines. And he goes, I hope so. And so I asked him, you know, point blank. I said, you say you want to coach again. What's a good fit for you? What's a good landing spot for you? Are you looking for a Power 4 job? You know, the UAB's job open? And he kind of cut me off after that. And he said, whoever's committed to winning. Whoever's committed to winning, that's where I'll go.
Hmm.
And so UAB tried to hire him once. Remember that a long
time ago? I remember it very well, yep.
And the Board of Trustees shut that down. So I'm not saying that, you know, Jimbo Fisher would go to UAB. But, you know, look, if he wants to coach and he wants to start rehabbing his coaching career,
mm-hmm.
that might be a good place to go to.
Yeah, and, you know, he doesn't need the money. So, I mean, he could work within whatever budget they have to pay a head coach. I also, though, Jeff, would keep an eye on Auburn with Jimbo, too, if something happened with Hugh Freeze. I think he might be in play there. All right, let's speaking of Auburn, I mean, it is what it is. And I know that term gets so overused. But, I mean, you know, Hugh Freeze comes out asking for a vote of confidence, and I know how close we are. Auburn fans are sick of hearing it, man. You were not supposed to be close this year. You were supposed to be good. You were close, you know, last year. And the bottom line is, 3 years as the head coach there, you started 0-4 in the league every year. I mean, that's mind-boggling to me that a program with the resources of Auburn could start out 3 straight years 0-4 in the conference and are on their way, if they don't turn around, to a 5th straight losing season. I mean, yet I'll give Auburn credit. I mean, they're showing some patience. Unlike some schools, it looks like, you know, he's going to probably survive the season and possibly beyond. What do you make of what's going on at Auburn? And is this a game Saturday at Arkansas that he has to win?
Well, I think it is. It looks on the outside like they are showing some patience. But but to me, a personal opinion here, you know, the end is near. It's not going to end well. And it's just a matter of when they want to end it. And to me, I think there are some folks behind the scenes who are trying to figure out how to end this thing. I don't have any sources. I don't have anything to go on other than just, you know, gut here. But it's not going to end well. You know, we've seen a sample size of the work. You know, he brought in a quarterback from Oklahoma who was supposed to be the answer. And it hasn't been the answer. And I know it's not all Jackson Arnold's fault. You know, Cam Coleman dropped a pass. The tight end dropped a pass. It would have been a first down. They got 30 yards in penalties that the defense did on one play that allowed, you know, Missouri to go in and tie the game. But, you know, it's just been a series of blunders. And I just don't see it lasting, you know, through the season. And certainly I don't see them giving him another year.
Alabama got through that stretch, four ranked teams in four weeks, went to Georgia and won, beat Vandy at home, went to Mizzou and won, beat Tennessee. Now, I think there's a lot of Alabama fans are worried about them, you know, exhaling a little bit, not getting themselves ready to play. We saw Alabama lose disappointing games at Nashville against Vanderbilt last year and in Norman against Oklahoma. How much do you think they're fighting a letdown this week? I guess the positive, I think, Jeff, is the fact that the coaches can sell to him, hey, catch your breath after this weekend, you get a bye. But how much are you concerned about Alabama maybe not taking this team as seriously in South Carolina as they did these last four opponents?
Well, I think it's a different team. I think they've got different leadership. And all they have to do is point to the first week and how they came in and they weren't ready to play the first week. And they saw what happened. They saw what the end result was of that. So I don't think this team is going to make that same mistake again. I think they're on such a roll right now that I'm not worried about them being overconfident at all, because now they've gotten back into that, you know, the way Alabama was when they were hitting their peak with Nick Saban, you know, that it's not about the opponent. You know, the opponent's faceless. The opponent's nameless. You know, it's all about us. It's all about how we play, you know, to the standard that we've set so far. And as long as they keep their eye on that target, they're not going to have any issues at Columbia. They're not going to have any issues, you know, anywhere against teams that they should go in and handle. So, I mean, this is far away from a trap game to me. I mean, this is a game where, you know, I see them doing what they've done the past several weeks, and that's taking the opening kick, having like an 11 and a 12 play drive, kind of shutting up the crowd, and then going on from there and taking care of their business.
All right, I want to get off topic for a minute in terms of college football and ask you what you think about the San Francisco Giants hiring Tony Vitello, who makes the jump as the first time from a college head coach to a MLB manager without any previous pro experience. Certainly did a bang-up job at UT, but is he ready for the big leagues?
Well, I saw this come out on Saturday, and I just couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. I mean, you talk about, you know, Buster Posey making an outside-the-box hire. I mean, this is amazing. It just blows me away. To me, Tony has always spoken big league to me, you know. Mm-hmm. And I know if some of his antics, you know, have been annoying, you know, and all that stuff. But you look at what this guy's done and he has produced. I mean, he's won a national championship. And I think the thing that really got Buster's attention, you know, was this guy's developed 10 first-round draft picks in 8 seasons there in Tennessee. So he's good. He's good at developing talent. And all because you get to the big leagues doesn't mean you stop developing. You know, he wants a guy who can run a ball club, who I think the ball players are going to respect, and I think they will. And they want a guy that can continue to develop, you know, the talent that's on the roster. And so, to me, I think it's a home run hire. And just wish him nothing but the best. It's going to be intriguing to watch for sure.
Jeff, have you seen the news that former Alabama quarterback A.J. McCarron has announced that he's going to run for lieutenant governor in 2026? And what do you think about AJ getting into politics? He may have to clean up the language a little bit on his podcast. He you know, and I'm not sure that the F-bomb train is going to be that welcome in a political race, but what do you think of that news?
I don't know. What is it about all these football guys who want to get into politics all of a sudden? I don't know. I don't know AJ that well. I don't know his heart when it comes to, you know, the political thing and all that stuff. But obviously, you know, it's clear to me that he's been called, you know, to this, and he wants to serve. And God bless him for that. Politics is a strange animal. You may go in with a lot of ambition, but it doesn't take long to figure out that, you know, it's not as easy as maybe it looks on the outside. I mean, all these people running for office, Gary, I'm wondering, you know, like when you're going to run for mayor, you know, when Maddox gets tired of running Tuscaloosa or something like that.
You know what? It's not happening. I want to keep all the stuff that I want kept out of public view, out of public view. So, and running for political office isn't the way to do that. But who knows, man? You know, maybe down the road. I mean, you never, in this world, you never rule it out, man. There's people jumping into politics that we talk about how sports has changed. Look how politics has changed. You know, used to, there was a kind of a track that you used to get into politics. Now, man, hey, man, people know who I am. I'm running, you know? So who knows, Speaks? Maybe you and I could get a ticket for governor and lieutenant governor. And finally, Corey from Trustful wanted me to ask you about Hewitt Trustful with the injuries that they're dealing with. Do you think that they could get into the 7A state playoffs and make a run?
Yeah, I mean, I think they can. They're so well coached, and they're just injuries are part of it, and you know, the hope is that they can, you know, use that last week, which be an open week for them, to try to get healthy, I love that guy, I love that program.
And a couple other high school notes: Thompson quarterback Trent Seaborn commits to Alabama. Was that what you were expecting?
100%. I mean, I think that's something that we've seen coming like a long time. I knew he's racking up offers and all that stuff, but I always thought Alabama would be where he wound up, and I think he's going to have a tremendous career.
And speaking of the Warriors, James Bryant kicked a 55-yard field goal in the final play of the game for Hoover as they beat Thompson last week in that 7A Region 3 clash, 33-30. What a moment for a high school kicker.
It was crazy. He kicked 4 field goals that day. And, you know, I did a Zoom call with him Saturday, and I said, did you think it was good the minute it left your foot? And he said, well, I was kicking right into the lights. He said, anywhere you kick on that field, you kick into the lights. And he said, I didn't know it was good until it got close to the uprights. I also asked him, I said, what's the longest kick you kicked in practice? He said 53.
Jeez.
Yeah. So two more yards. He said the adrenaline was really pumping, so that's how the extra 2 yards got there.
And you beat Hoover to do it. So, boy, this 7A Region 3 is something else. Hey, great stuff, Jeff. Tell us, of course, you know you got high school football tomorrow night, and then you got EOG rap on Saturday night.
Yeah, right after Texas A&M and LSU. We also have Alabama playing at 2:30 against South Carolina, so a big day. And appreciate you, Gary. Hope you have a great day.
Thanks, Jeff. All right, it's 10:53. We're going to take a timeout and come back and wrap it up. Once again, I'd wanted to get Tom Izzo on, but we've just been busy, busy, busy. Just have a hard time. Tom Izzo, not a fan of college teams signing G League players. I'm not either. We'll be back after this.
On The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we're going to talk to Thompson High School football coach who just sent his quarterback to the University of Alabama. Mark Freeman is going to join us. We'll talk to Josh from College Football Nerds. We'll talk to Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com. We'll also have a chance to catch up with Bruce Marshall right here starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build your own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after.
Tractor, Castaway Fish Co., Crimson Pride Hunting and Fishing, Precision Armory, Junction Grocery, Urbans, Military Surplus R Us, and Adams Heating and Cooling.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team.
Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another fine fall day today with a sunny sky, the high 77. Clear tonight, the low 49. Tomorrow and Saturday, partly to mostly sunny both days. Highs between 73 and 76. Sunday, rain at times, the high 69. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 57 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
All right, all out of time. Busy show this morning. A lot to get to with the federal gambling probe in the NBA. And then just the news coming out shortly, or a short time ago, that A.J. McCarron, former Crimson Tide quarterback, former NFL quarterback, is going to run on the Republican ticket as for lieutenant governor. Wow. Like I said, A.J., I think, will be a good candidate. I mean, I just hope when he's doing, of course, in the modern world, who knows? I mean, the way he talks on his podcast with dropping, you know, a lot of cursing. But, hey, you know what? He's a leader. There's no doubt about it. Won three national championships at Alabama, two as the starting quarterback. And, you know, without a kick six, probably would have won three in a row and would have really made history. But anyway, busy morning, a lot of news. Tomorrow morning live at the Free. Friday's at Innisfree Irish Pub starting at 9 a.m. Our Bama football trivia contest. We're giving away that Bo Scarborough signed football courtesy of T-Town Menswear, T-Town Gallery, University Mall. Hey, if you're looking for a place to work out and you don't want just some dull, you know, stingy, mildewy gym, you want somewhere nice, beautiful, fitness area, wellness center, the YMCA of Tuscaloosa is the place for you. 2313 Street. Find out more at ymcatuscaloosa.org. The Miller's Edge is coming up next. For Chase Brumfield, I'm Gary Harris. Have a great Thursday, everybody.